Turning to Joshua chapter 7, please, and we're dealing with the words of verse 16 to the end this morning. We've entitled the message, How to Deal with Achans. How to Deal with Achans. Let's unite our hearts together in a short word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank the Lord for those that can sing this hymn by a word of testimony. We thank the Lord you've took our sins away. And Lord, we rejoice that we're accepted in the Beloved this morning. And thou didst see us in Christ. We have that spotless garment of Christ's righteousness that is laid to our account. And Father, we pray that thou might bless us as we turn to this passage. Give us understanding in it, Lord. Oh God, give us honesty before the book. Give us honesty in thy presence this morning. And Lord, we pray that thou would minister to every heart. Remember those that, Lord, have been in hospital and are it again. We thank thee for your hand upon them. Those maybe that are facing tests in hospital, even this week, Lord, go before them. Give thy hand upon each one. Oh God, we're looking to thee. We pray that thou might bless our church family afresh. Lord, most of all, bless it with salvation blessing. I pray, Lord, for that help to be given as we come to the preaching of the word just now. Fill us with thy spirit and with power. Give us utterance in the Holy Ghost. For we ask these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen. That thing called the conscience is a wonderful thing. However, a guilty and a troubled conscience is a terrible thing. It may have lain dormant for many a long day, but suddenly it has sparked into life. Suddenly it rises up and it condemns. And it troubles the mind over those things that have been done some time in the past. There are those in Her Majesty's Maghabri prison this morning. And they're there because their guilty conscience rose up against them. And they could do nothing else other than confess their sins and their crimes. And I look at these verses in this chapter of Joshua, chapter 7, and somehow we feel that Achan, he must have watched as he saw the army of Israel in retreat before the little city of Ai. And he would have understood perfectly well as to why that was the case. And then he knew, because within his tent, there was that which he had stolen and which belonged to God, and it's termed the accursed thing. And when he saw where he heard it reported to him that 36 of his fellow countrymen lay dead on the battlefield, then it must have become clear to his wretched and to his now awakened conscience that he was responsible. I wonder, have we ever truly faced up to what sin is and understood its far-reaching effect? You see, most people are more afraid of being found out than they are of being ashamed of the sin in their hearts. Our first reaction to the prick of conscience is to plan that somehow our sin may not be known. It'll not be found out. There's a verse in the scriptures and it says, one of the verses whereby this preacher was converted through in the night of my conversion, be sure your sin will find you out. It's a verse that stands true even to this very morning. And coupled with an awakened conscience, it is all the ingredients that is needed to expose the worst of crimes ever committed. And so the day comes when the net is drawn in. And the net is drawn around us, and our sin is exposed. And the Holy Spirit says, thou art guilty. That is now the day that is in view in the life of Achan. God has showed to Joshua the reason of their defeat. God has told him to get up off his face in prayer, because he has made known unto him now why they could not stand before the relatively small enemy. He has showed them the manner in which the sin within the camp was to be exposed and by which it was to be flushed out. One thing was sure, unless the sin of Achan was dealt with, they would not know the presence and they would not know the power of their God in the midst. You see the end of verse 12. It says, neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. And the same truth is applicable to this very day. If we're serious about desiring God's blessing, if we're serious and earnest about desiring God's reviving, then there must be a dealing with sin. God said to Joshua that in the morning, the tribes were to be taken. The family and the household would be selected. And eventually the man himself who was the trouble in Israel. And as we read, as at other times, verse 16, Joshua rose up early in the morning. He didn't delay. He got at it. So much was his heart upon the matter of putting away the accursed thing. He had a zeal to see the divine favor of God again bestowed upon Israel. He got up early in the morning to deal with it. What follows is the day when the man who had caused this trouble is brought forth. And in due process, Achan stands before Joshua. And we are given to see how to deal with our Achans. I want you to notice firstly here the committing of sin. The time had come when Achan in essence was to hear what another man heard that we read about in the scriptures. When Nathan came to David and said to him, thou art the man. The deselection process had taken place. Tribe and family, man by man, until it's Achan that stands before Joshua. And Matthew Henry, that great commentator, he seeks to portray what that scene must have been like. He says, and I quote, we can only imagine how his countenance must have changed and what horror must have seized him when he was singled out as the offender and when the eyes of all Israel are now fastened upon him and everyone was ready to say, have we found thee, O our enemy? Achan may have been more afraid of being found out. But found out he was. What follows is a detailed description of how he actually committed sin by taking of the accursed thing. How did Achan get himself to being in this place? How can we just be as guilty before God? You'll note the materials in the sin. Look at verse 21. As you have it, in this passage, he says, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wage of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they're hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. The sin of Achan in the camp was all because of a garment, some shekels of silver, and a wage of gold. The sin was that of covetousness, and it's a sin that is often warned about throughout the scriptures of truth. The Lord, you remember, in speaking about that wealthy farmer, was to preface his words by that very truth. When we read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, in the words of verse 15, let me read them to you. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he went on to speak about the parable, the man who's become known as the rich farmer. That fool that put more emphasis on what his possessions were than his state of his soul. The apostle to the believers at Ephesus was to exhort, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. In the book of Colossians, it is called idolatry. I'm speaking about the sin of covetousness. A sin which others may not know that you're guilty of, a sin which you can hide away. But that desires and puts earthly possessions upon the throne of the heart. And in Achan's case, that which he willfully sinned for and after was a mere Babylonish garment. a few shekels of silver and a wedge of gold. I want you to stop and think about that. I want you to think about that now. Because there are the very things which are counted as important in this world. The spirit of Babylon is not confined to that place. It is the spirit of this present world. I want to show it to you. Everyone who has a Bible in their lap, turn to Revelation chapter 18. Chapter of Revelation. Look at the words of verse 12. And you will know from the start of this chapter that Babylon is mentioned. In verse 2, Babylon the Great is fallen. Babylon is in focus. But I want you to read with me verse 12. For it counts, it denotes, it enumerates the things that Babylon counts as important. The merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones of pearls and fine linen, purple and silk and scarlet, all thine wood and all manner vessels of ivory, all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble. What heads the list in that which is most important in the spirit of Babylon? It's gold. It's silver. It's the fine linen. Do you see what's least important in Babylon? Do you see what's least important in the spirit of Babylon that abounds in this day and age in which we live? Look at the end of verse 13. I'll read it to you. And cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves, listen, and souls of men. That's what's least important in the spirit of Babylon. The souls of men and women. What is most important is gold and silver and the possessions and the fine linen. And men and women, that's the spirit of this age. And that's what Achan is taken up with. Achan counted it more important to have the garment of Shinar, some silver, a piece of gold, and to live in obedience to God's word and his commands. I wonder, why, what is it with you? What is it with you, child of God? I'm speaking to the believers this morning. Is it God or mammon? What's most important in your life just now? What's on the throne of your heart just now? Oh, the Lord's meant to be there, but is it the possessions? Is it the mammon? What a loser Achan is, you know. What a loser he is in this bargain of the devil. And so is his tactics to this day. He always promises more than he ever gives to those who yield and commit sin. He's the worst of a master to serve. His wages are lousy. For sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. But notice what the manner in which Achan was to commit this sin. I've read it to you in the words of verse 21 that we read. His sin begins with the eye gate. What do you mean? Look at it, verse 21. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold of 50 shekels of weight, for in the plundering of one of those houses of Jericho, he was to see his bounties. He says, I saw among the spoils. But you know, it wasn't to stop with the eye gate. That was merely the entrance. For he was to sin with the heart. He says, I saw. What did he go on to say? He says, I coveted them. It's reached his heart now. The lust hath conceived, and it bringeth forth a sin. And from the heart it was to engage the hand. For he says, and I took them. And from there the sin was to engage the head. For he states also, behold, they're hid in the earth. It wasn't that he was ashamed of what he had done. He just didn't want to be found out. It starts with the eye. It moves to the heart. It engages the hand. And then goes to the head. so fearing that any search would be made, he conceals them. And he resolves to keep his ill-gotten gains. It might be noted what the outcome of his ill-gotten gains were. We might be able to sum it up in just a little verse in Job. Job chapter 20 and the verse 15. It simply says this: he has swallowed down riches, and he shall vomit them up again. God shall cast them out of his belly. And the manner in which Achan was to sin, you know, it's the same that was true of our first parents. Exactly the same. You turn back to Genesis chapter 3. There's nothing new here in the manner in which Achan sinned. Genesis chapter 3, when Eve was beguiled by the serpent, what do we read? Genesis 3 verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. She saw, she coveted, she took, and when she partook, she sought to hide themselves among the trees of the garden. Exactly the same. You know, men and women, it behoves us to make a covenant with our eyes, and to pray like the psalmist: I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. How often the devil seeks to cause us to sin by what enters in through the eye gate. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. And men and women, that's why it's imperative that you're careful of what you read. That you're careful of what you watch and what you subject your eyes to. It used to be some years back that we would have highlighted the television screen, and it was not just that now. It's not just that. It's the wee screens. It's what you can get on your little phones. And parents, it ought to be your desire to watch what your children are seeing. Your children should be able to hand you over their phone. Not be ashamed to have a wee search and have a wee look at what you're looking at, what they're looking at. How many parents know what's on their child's phone? The manner in which sin is committed is often exactly the same as with Achan. Exactly the same. And consider the magnitude of his sin. Look at the words of verse 16. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. We're told that the tribe of Judah was taken. Achan was to come from within one of those families. Unless we just forget, this was to be the royal tribe. This is the royal tribe out of which would come the promised Messiah, the Lion of Judah. The one who was without sin, there was no guile found in his mouth, in whom the devil had nothing. The tribe of Judah was to be therefore the most honorable, a tribe that would have much to glory in, but not for this man. He was a reproach, he was ashamed to it. Could we not draw a parallel with those brought up in the best of families, those that have been nurtured in the gospel, those that have been given the best start in life, and yet there are those who bring shame and they bring dishonor to their families? They have spurned every opportunity of gospel light, and they've rejected their mother or their father's God. And if they continue in their sin, shall not their judgment be worse than those who have never heard? For the tribe of Judah, they were those who would be apportioned the first and the largest piece of land in Canaan. The more inexcusable are the actions, therefore, of Achan, who coveted a mere Babylonish garment, a few shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold. Not being content to wait for his own share, he was to take that which belonged to God. Beware of the Achans of your heart, lest you sin in the same way as this man. It's in Joshua 7 for a reason. It's for our admonition. It's an example that's given to us. We might take the warning thereby. What about the condemning of sin? As Achan stood before his judge, there was every evidence that he was the guilty party and one who had offended a holy God. Yet that being so, he was to be condemned for taking the accursed thing, not because of the lots that had been cast and which had singled out the tribe and the family and his family and himself. Rather, his condemnation was by his own confession. Look at the words of verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done." As Joshua encouraged them, so Achan was to confess that indeed he had sinned against the Lord, against the one who had been so good to Israel in their past, particularly in delivering Jericho to them and into their hands in so much an extraordinary manner. They hadn't to lift a sword. The walls came tumbling down underneath themselves, and they could walk right in and take the city. He had sinned against the law of God regarding the spoil of that city, and by owning up to his action, he had satisfied the congregation of Israel that he was guilty of the charge that was now laid against him. Achan has to acknowledge that the sin was his own. If I can paraphrase it, what I am charged with is too hard, is too true to be denied. It's too bad to be excused. I own it, and the Lord is righteous in bringing it to light, for indeed I have sinned. His confession would be also a warning to others to take heed of sinning after the manner of his own transgression. And ultimately it would bring honor and glory to God himself. God, after all, is a God of infinite knowledge and of power, from whom no secrets are hid. And in confessing our sin unto him, we not only bring shame upon ourselves, but we bring glory to God as a righteous God, owning him justly displeased with us, and one who would continue to be just if he were to punish each one of us. Bless his name, the believer has the promise of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you'll notice also that his condemnation was due to the discovery that was made. You see, Joshua leaves nothing to chance. And so he sends his servants to search the tent of Achan. In the words of verse 22, Joshua sent messengers and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent and the silver under it. You'll note that there's an urgency about their errand. They ran to the tent. Not only does it express to us a readiness on their part to obey Joshua's orders, but to show also how uneasy they were till the camp be cleared of that accursed thing, that they might again regain the divine favor of God. Those that feel themselves under wrath will not defer in the putting away of sin. Delays are dangerous, and it is no time to trifle. And dear soul laden with sin this morning, it is our prayer that you would come under the conviction of God, the Holy Spirit. For you see, that is also part of his work. As we have the Savior teach us in John 16 and the words of verse 8, where he says, "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." When the Spirit of truth has come, and the conviction will prove that you're a sinner before an offended and before an holy God, look into the book of God and you will discover that you are undone. You will discover there's no righteousness in you to warrant any of his favor or to warrant any pleasure from Almighty God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Scriptures reveal to the sinner that they're condemned already. John 3:18. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. It's not, sinner, that you are pressing and you're running towards condemnation. Condemnation of God is already on you. You're condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And unless there is confession made with the mouth unto salvation, the sinner's discovers that they cannot be saved, and they will never be among the redeemed of the Lord in the kingdom of heaven. And so, dear soul, the matter is of an utmost urgency that you see to it that your sin is put away. And there's only one place in which it can be put away, and that is under the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross by faith. I say to you, if God's Spirit is already striving with you and your conscience has been troubled of late and you don't know what's wrong with you and God is working on you, unknown to you, then delay no longer in seeking His salvation in the person and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. For understand that the condemnation of Achan was not merely by Joshua. It was something that was divine. You look at the end of verse 25. It says, and all Israel stoned them with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. God knew all about them. Look at the verse at the start of verse 25. Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. You see, God knew all about Achan. And I want you to see there's a little play in his name here. There's a little play of words on the meaning of what his name means. Joshua asks, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. Achan's name means troubler. We'll not take time to look it up, but 1 Chronicles 2:7, you'll get it there. It means troubler. And this day, God would cause his wrath to be upon the man who had troubled his people. And you know, that's something that God will do in the coming again of his Son to this earth. Let me read to you 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and just the words of verse 6 through to 8. It says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That will be a day where God's wrath will be poured out. The day of the Lord's return upon those who know not God, that never had the heart experience of the new birth, those that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so with the garment and the silver and the gold in full view before Joshua and all Israel, the condemnation was clear. Achan was guilty. And a conscience, a sentence would be passed upon him accordingly. How accurate a picture of the sinner. Our mouths condemn us. Our hearts condemn us. For therein we discover the seat and the source of all iniquity. And laid bare before God, we discover that we are also guilty lawbreakers. The justice of God condemns us. There's not one piece of evidence that would warrant our freedom or our discharge, but for the cross of Christ. And we would be eternally condemned. For you see, men and women, young person, on Christ was poured out God's wrath. Our condemnation he was to take upon himself as he died there on that middle tree in the place of his people, so that the repentant sinner can declare this morning, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I wonder, is that where you stand today as I preach? Are you still under the condemnation of a holy God? Or do you stand into that text that we find in Romans 8 and verse 1? It's one or the other. Let me show you finally the eradication of sin. The justice and the holiness of our God demands sin to be dealt with. And when it is beyond doubt that Achan had taken the accursed thing, then sin had to be eradicated from that camp. There had to be the punishment of it. I've read to you already the latter part of verse 25. And all Israel stoned them with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. No reprieve would be granted. There was no mercy shown. Achan had to be punished. The only way to deal with the evil that had brought defeat and death into the camp of Israel and dishonor to the name of our God was to blot it out. And so Achan was stoned to death. And while some believe that it was because he was a Sabbath breaker, for that was how they were to be punished, yet that which we must not miss is how all Israel were to engage in the eradication of this sin from the camp. You see, it says, all Israel stoned them with stones. Dear people, can I bring it out to you like this? It's in the interest of God's people to contribute to the suppression and the eradication of evil. For remember that while righteousness exalteth a nation, sin is a reproach to any people. It's in our interest to eradicate sin in our hearts, in our homes, in our congregations, in our land. When the stones had done their work, then there were the fires to burn up every last vestige of this troubler. Consider also the price of eradicating this sin. Not only him, but all who partook with him were also put to death, and it was to be a complete eradication of it. And that meant the possessions of the garment, the silver and the gold, were destroyed with him. They were put beyond use. It meant all the other possessions being destroyed, including his very tent where he had sought to conceal his ill-gotten gains. You see, verse 24 says, all that he had, nothing was to be left. What a lesson for today. The ill-gotten gains will perish. They will give no more pleasure when all is said and done. It meant his family suffering death as well. They had abetted in the sin. They were accessories in hiding the goods, and now they too were to suffer. Sin doesn't just stop with you. It affects others. Oh, man or woman, what a heavy price to be paid for sinning against the Lord. Achan, because of his sin, didn't die alone. His sin was to affect others. You turn over to Joshua chapter 22. Joshua 22 in the words of verse 20. Listen to this. Did not Achan the son of Zerah commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel, and that man perished not alone in his iniquity? There's a little verse that will be a summary of the final part of chapter 7 of Joshua. That's why it's important, believer, that you make sure there's no Achan tucked away in your heart. No sin tucked away unconfessed, lest God would demand a similar heavy price. We need to pray the fear of God might grip this land again. When the fear of God grips a heart, then there'll be less sinning and putting our hand to it. You'll note the place of this eradication. You'll see it in verse 24. At the end it says, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. Verse 26, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. They were taken outside the camp. They were taken into this valley where the judgment against sin was meted out. And there was to be raised a heap of stones as a perpetual reminder of what trouble Achan had caused in the camp of Israel. And the valley was given a corresponding name. It's called the Valley of Achor. Place would ever be associated of putting away of sin. And as a result of God's anger being turned away and his favor being bestowed upon them again. The Valley of Achor. You'll see it by your margin. It renders it trouble. There's an interesting little verse. I'm nearing the end here. I want you to see it in Hosea. Daniel, Hosea chapter 2 and verse 15. An interesting little mention of this valley in this verse. And says, "And I will give her vineyards from thence in the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt." Because sin had been put away, because it had been eradicated, it gave Israel hope that God's presence would be with them. God often has to bring us through such a valley in order to show that our only door of hope is in the Lord. And so it will be for Israel prophetically. We haven't time to go in any further than to say there will be a time of trouble like no other. Scriptures tell us that. And just when it seems that Israel will be blotted out by our enemies, wiped out, eradicated, totally destroyed from the face of the earth, that's still to come. It will be then that the Lord will return. It'll be then that Christ shall appear for her salvation. When there'll be that time of trouble like no other. But where can you discover this door of hope? It's at the place where sin was to be put away. It's when Christ stepped into the darkness of Calvary. And it's when he bore our judgment in his own body and he endured the fires of God's wrath, and through his work he was to turn away his anger. You see, the gospel's in this chapter. For through the Savior's death and burial and his resurrection, there's been a door of hope opened that the guilty sinner may know the mercy of God and they may be saved. Have you experienced his salvation? Are you one this morning that truly is looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, our great God and our Savior? I pray if you're not in that bracket, that God might bring you to that place this morning, and he might bring you to that place just now. That you might leave this house with a gospel hope residing in your soul, knowing it is well. It is well with my soul. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. May God be pleased to write that word of how to deal with Achan's on our heart. May God be pleased to speak on to those that are not saved. You might see the door of hope this morning. It is Christ. Father and our God, we thank thee for thy presence with us. Thank you, Lord, for the study in this little chapter. Lord, we realize it is an ensample. It is for our admonition. God, we pray that thou would give us the grace to deal with our Achans, those things that are hidden away, tucked away from the gaze of our closest and our nearest. Lord, we pray that thou would give us the grace to put them under the blood, to confess them unto thee, that we might know that divine blessing in our lives again. We might know, Lord, the divine blessing upon our nation again. Oh God, we're conscious that righteousness exalteth a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. Lord, have mercy, we pray. Mercy on the unconverted soul today. Lord, we pray that they might see the door of hope. They might see Christ as their only hope. They might have done with sin, the pleasures of which will only last for a season. Lord, today that they might seek eternal life. They might seek that forgiveness, that pardon. They might seek that cleansing in the Savior's precious blood. Part us with thy fear and thy favor. Speak on when the preacher's voice is silent. We ask these things in Jesus' name.